with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Talking to my people, yeah. Talking to the ghetto. Get down. You're out there floating on your own, hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy, and everyone who loves you, you need to let it go. Get to know people. What are you gonna do? Tell me. You really think that the government cares about you? No, they don't ever. Get to know people. Who you gonna turn to? Listen to me. I'm trying to tell y'all. Yeah. Get no people. Get no people. Where you wanna be?
Why your life be?
Tell me. Tell me.
Running like a red.
Get no people.
Stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
get no people.
Show some love for yourself. People, I can take some strange turns on you. Living with the same problem that you. Winter in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the short falls of grief won't ever come to feel what you need. What you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride sees you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, strange kind of sadness you can never get used to.
Get
to know people.
What are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't.
Get to know people.
Who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen, people.
You better take a look at yourself, yeah.
Talking to my people.
What you looking at?
Living like you're living.
Caught up in the baby.
Lost in your dreams.
Get your people.
Giving up your self-respect.
Stop it.
Talking to my people.
Yeah.
I can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you.
Leave you in the cold
with a day that's not worth having.
Chances on the short falls of grief
will never come to feel what you need.
What you really want inside
can only come from you.
Gentle people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? Do you think it all, yeah? I ain't giving up a second thought about you now. Get so deep on you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get so deep on where you wanna be. What's with your life? Running like a red disease. Get so deep on. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, girl. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspective, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. You say, Ashe? We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does the captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything was well with you today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, I know you'll get it done, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is, always getting it done in spite of the conditions. I know some places around this country it is literally impossible to do that. The whole midsection of this country is flooded. Man. And so those who don't believe in climate change or global warming, I bet you some of them are starting to believe now. Because I know, although I did see a piece that said that there were a number of tornadoes. See, tornadoes happen a lot on this continent, not so on Africa and Europe. They don't get tornadoes. Tornadoes because of the temperatures and the winds coming from off the coast of Africa or the Atlantic Ocean blowing westerly, and then that's the hot air. And then that cool air coming from the west blowing easterly. And so they kind of meet up in the midsection of this country, which they call Tornado Alley. And it starts havoc. So my sympathies and prayers, as you say, go out to the people who are dealing with all that madness, all that destruction of their losing everything, you know, everything. So anyway, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central or 9 to 11 Mountain or 8 to 10 Pacific or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. When you get to the page, way to the right, there's other programs. Click on that, and then you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then follow that to the red, black, and green line with Africa Imposed. And the programs are dated and titled. We appreciate that. But from Brother Kwaku. We're here once again every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But after my program on Mondays and Wednesdays, not today even, is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones on Mondays and Wednesdays from 1 to 3. So when we get this together, in which we are, thanks to Brother Scotty Reed and Brother Elliot of Time for an Awakening, getting our stream together. So that's when I want to thank Brother Scotty Reed from Black Talk Radio Network for hooking me up, so allowing me to continue to broadcast. And I appreciate that, and I hope brothers and sisters can get a chance to call in and listen or give some perspective. Give us your African perspective. Black Talk Radio Network is the number one podcast, American African podcast in the country. That's right, we are number one.
Thanks to Brother Scotty Reed and his staff and all the things that they do. So we appreciate that. Also on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds public affairs programming from out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Blessed by Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, this evening, well, let me just say this. I'm not sure because Dr. Rogers couldn't broadcast. We're getting our stream hooked up, so it may not be today. Hopefully it will be tomorrow, and definitely hope it will be Friday. So Revive would be tonight from 8 to 6. The host is hosted by POC, Proof of Consciousness, Sister POC. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 to 12. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., that's right, it's not me, it is Sister POC with her program once again, Revive. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. to 10, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brother Bomani Fahimba is in Ghana. I didn't talk to him, but I did talk to Mama Marimba because she's there too. I talked to her at Brother Jerry Johnson's The Ancestral Wall. And it's just going to be a beautiful trip, brothers and sisters, that all of us should make it one time or another to go to the continent, whether it's Ghana. I always say go to Ghana first, but there's some other places I truly want to check out, Rwanda, Tanzania, you know, because I plan to, you know, to move. You know, I plan to get out. So I want to check out some other places before I make the ultimate move, which will be in a few years, a short amount of time, not years from now. I don't, you know, I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. So it's time to make that move. But Brother Bomani Tahimbe's AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and he has those brothers and sisters in Africa right now as we speak. That tour began last week, Wednesday, May 22nd. They'll be there until the 4th of June. But if you want to check out some of the photos, not from this trip necessarily, but from previous trips, go to Facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. If you want to check out videos of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani2007. Also, too, brothers and sisters, get yourselves together because there is a trip to to South Africa, November 22nd to December 2nd. He's going to Johannesburg and to Cape Town. So you want to give him a call when he gets back later sometime this week at 404-931-9429. But you also can go online. Go to his website at AfricaForTheAfricans.org and look up that trip and the other trip to Ghana, which is December 24th to January 4th, 2020, and that trip as well. Africa for the African. Shrine of the Black Madonna has books. It has furniture, it has clothing, it has the red, black, and green shoes. It has everything that you need. Located in the West End here in Atlanta at 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. The number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They're open from Wednesdays through Saturdays. Wednesday through Saturday from 12 noon to 7 p.m. And then on Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 3. They have an educational program. That's right. Know Thyself. The class is every Saturday, free and open to the public, every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. It's a multimedia presentation by Baba Olutunji. He does an outstanding job. But if you cannot make that, then you can get that information from the Shrine, the multimedia library they created. It is, brothers and sisters, it has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 books, and over 2,000 books, and over 40,000 audio files. That's right, brothers and sisters. It is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. So it's the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Check them out. Other bookstores is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. It has the same thing that where you We Buy Black. I didn't talk about We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com has a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, and of course they're online to We Buy Black. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. You can get everything you need from WeBuyBlack.com, and they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. And right by it is the Medu Bookstore. And of course you can check them out, and if they don't have the book that you are seeking, and believe me, they'll get it for you. The other bookstore that I promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 6984 Main Street. I want to thank the proprietor, Brother Gazende, for allowing me to do my presentation there, and I really appreciate him and his wife and all of at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. We pull our monies together. They have a radio program every Thursday night, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk. The number to call to listen or to participate is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And I'm always encouraging brothers and sisters to become members of Us Lifting Us, but more importantly, become a contributing member. By that I mean you want to get a share, which is $1,000, and you want to get more. Not that you're trying to invest in something you're going to get an immediate return, because you're not. We're just keeping it real. But what you are investing in is our people and our community and our future. That's what you're investing in, and the potential that we have. We pull our money together and we create a Cafe Ulu, located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, in right off of Georgia Highway 166, just near, right off of Interstate I-75, I-85. So it's very easy to get to. It's open Tuesday. We have some new hours. Tuesday, open 7 to 6, from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., Tuesday through Friday. On Saturday, Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then at Cafe Ulu, we got coffee, y'all. We got African coffee. We got Cameroon. We got Tanzanian. We got Kenyan. We got Ethiopia, where coffee started. We have, oh, man, I think somebody came in with some Ugandan coffee. And a brother came in, wanted to sell some Angolan coffee. Oh, man, we got coffee. We also have coffee from other parts of the world, Nicaragua, Panama, Brazil. West Papua New Guinea. We also have, and everything, brothers and sisters, everything at Cafe Ulu is sold and produced by us. Everything we sell is produced by us. That's right. We have one drink we have there. It's a vitality drink called Ambrosia, created by Brother Novak Young. It is a vitality drink that's made with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane, sugar, chlorophyll, hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Delicious vitality drink that we sell at Cafe Ulu. So come and check us out. Why don't you? Oh, that's what I'm going to do. I need to start doing that. And that is this. I need to tell you about the fundraiser we have in Black Talk Radio Network. Even though we're the number one podcast, we too have a responsibility to help keep it going. And let me see if I can get that right here. I hope this is it right here. They have a fundraiser. They have a fundraiser that is happening, and I'm trying to find that information. I should have had since I just started to think about it, brothers and sisters, please forgive me, but I'm trying to get that information for you. I know I do have it somewhere here, and it's very important because we want to make sure that Black Talk Radio Network is well funded. It's well funded. I'll have to find that information, and when I do, I'll give you that information, because you need to be able to help Black Talk Radio Network. Another institute that I promote here on African Perspectives is Papa Baruti's School, Akabin Institute, here in Atlanta. Wishing you to donate, make checks or money orders out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. Excuse me, no, that's mine. 30310, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And, of course, if you don't want to do it that way, you can send it through PayPal, through the computer, PayPal or Cash App. And where you would send it is the dollar sign, YAAMBARUTI, Baruti. YAM Baruti. And or you can also go to paypal.me/Akabin Village. They're having the Complementarity Conference this weekend. I will not be there. I will be in New Orleans because I will not broadcast next week. Brother Quaker will handle that. He will have previous recorded programs that we're going to run Monday, Wednesday, and Friday next week. I'll be in New Orleans at our firefighter training program, which I'll talk about on Friday, what it is, how impact it has made nationwide of educating brothers and sisters in the fire service to run fire departments. But the event this weekend is the 15th Annual Complementarity Conference, Brothers and Sisters African Love. Celebrate. Come celebrate African love. This Friday at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway. There'll be a meet and greet. And then on Saturday at the same venue, the Sweet Spot at 675 Metropolitan Parkway, it'll be the Complementarity Conference. And the conference is $20 for adults and $35 a couple, free for children. It's a donation. Obviously, let's stay together. Let's stay together. Let's never kiss and say goodbye. Let's stay together. And on Saturday, it starts at 2 p.m. from 6 p.m., the Complementarity Conference. The importance of the Complementarity Conference is that we need, in the libation, I mentioned that we don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. We've been fragmented, and I know from my understanding it's by intent, but for you brothers and sisters, we must come together and work together and become unions again, rear good, strong children, have good family life, so we'll have good community life. And Juneteenth Day is coming up. That's going to be the 14th through the 16th here in Atlanta. It's going to be near Mercedes Stadium at the Home Depot Park or whatever that's called. Anyway, that's coming up next month. And so I'll be jumping on that as soon as I get back. And looking forward. In fact, there is a plan, and I hope that we can do it, to broadcast from that location, to broadcast from Juneteenth Day on that Friday, on the 14th. So more plans to talk about that when we can get to it. The NYSASM, the Revolutionary Daily Thoughts, the NYSASM. And, of course, today is the 29th, so I'm going to read the day before. May 28th. Till we have black men in the seat of power, respected, feared, hated, and reverenced, our young men will never rise for the reason that they never look up. They will never look up. Bishop Henry Turner McNeil. Before I read Baba Baruti's, there's a quote by Bishop Henry Turner McNeil. Bishop McNeil Turner, excuse me. And I will always remember that he says, God is black, God's got to be black, because if God is a white man, there is no hope. There is no hope. If the image that brothers and sisters see on them paintings on the walls in your church and you pray to that, there is no hope. Henry McTeal Turner. If there's nothing to see, people tend not to look up. So there has to be a precedence here and now, whatever our Jegnas are, our Sappho, to want to fulfill their warrior mission. It's time for gathering of old men and women. Our elders must set an example of warriorhood in the tradition of the ageless warrior. It is time for the vanguard of elders willing to risk their fixed income and ignore their aches and pains to clear a revolutionary path by practical example. Acts of liberation can only be taught through demonstration. What is there to lose but one's ancestralship? This is not a call for our elders to become anarchists. That is a European disposition. Chaos for the sake of chaos. Destruction for the sake of destruction. Destruction and chaos simply for their own sake is counterproductive. Then in the end, the old European order is simply replaced with a new European order. This is not what we are after. And European culture cannot change into anything African. We have to see that historically, anarchy is a European strategy where the frustrated, dispossessed seek to undermine the stability and security of their empowered brothers so they can replace them by appropriating their privilege. Anarchy is only an effective nation-building tool if used in the context of a conscious vision. Affirm. I exude a power rightfully respected, feared, and hated. Affirm, I exude a power rightfully respected, feared, and hated. May 29th. Global equality is accessible only through raw, naked power. Power that is economic, yes, but power that is also military. All other avenues have been tried and found wanting. Clarence Munford. The military is the institution with the responsibility of defending the people from others who would deprive them of their way. Whether a standing army or organized out of citizen soldiers at a moment's notice, a militia. It is the army's extension of any whole culture. It is only a healthy, solvent, sovereign people grounded in their fully functioning culture who can successfully wage a physical battle against any aggression or aggressing group or nation whose hostility in some way prevents them from being self-defining, self-empowering, and whole. The military is not just a minor appendage of society to contrast to other social institutions. During times of invasion, assault, occupation, domination, or other harmful violations from outside, the military ascends as the most important institution. The intellect, energy, and resources of the educational, political, religious, and familiar and economic institutions become decorated to the war effort. Excuse me, dedicated to the war effort. For it is a natural defense mechanism for people to protect themselves. It is a first response for any living organism. A society is a living organism. Any people conscious of being threatened or attacked mobilize for defense and retaliate to school the attacker. It is only a people who have become vanquished into a submissive pacification who do not respond militarily to invasions, assault, occupation, or domination from outside. I repeat, it is only a people who have become vanquished into a submissive pacification who do not respond militarily to invasions, assault, occupation, and domination from outside. Affirm, I am a credible military threat. Affirm, I am a credible military threat. The Enye Sesem, the Book of Revolutionary Thought. Enye Sesem. As I continue to look for that Black Talk Radio and the fundraiser that they have, I'll continue to look for that because I think that's very important. And if not, I'll get it once again from Scotty Reed. And because I want to continue to promote that. He has a goal to reach, and I want to do my part in helping. Not quite sure the other radio programs. There's a lot of radio programs on Black Talk Radio Network. You know, this brother has done an outstanding job, and he needs to be acknowledged. And because what's most important is providing information to our people. I know some of the programs are edutainment, so they educate and entertain. If I do that in this program, so be it. I'm not intentionally trying to entertain. I'm here for the purpose of changing our minds. When I say when I end the program with Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed, and this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. I ain't jiving. I'm serious. That's why when I tell people, I said, you know, if you tune into this program, deals with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because I maintain there really is no other discussion. There really isn't. And to debate or discuss whether we should have independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty with another African person is crazy. It's ludicrous. Hey, the only discussion that we should be having is how do we achieve it.
Brother Oshie, are you there?
Hey, yes, I am. Brother Scotty, how you doing, man? Thank you so much once again.
Oh, you're welcome. I just wanted to say it's on blacktalkradionetwork.com. At the top, you'll see the menu items where it say home, login, digital media school. Under that, it says Black Talk Media Projects 2019 Independent Black Media Fund. And this fund not only, you know, helps maintain, and by the way, it when I say Black Talk Media Project, that's the nonprofit new media organization that we set up in 2008 because Malcolm X said the media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. Yeah. It controls the minds of the masses. It make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent, and that's power. Right. And especially if you look at the Black Power movement, civil rights movement during the 1960s, Black radio, independently owned Black radio or terrestrial radio stations, meaning that, you know, the brick and mortar building with the antenna that broadcasts the car radios and things of that nature, it played a huge role in liberation and fighting mm-hmm. for, you know, our rights and human rights. You know, you can find information there. It's Black Talk Media Projects 2019 Independent Black Media Fund. It helps us to not only maintain what we got, but to also help launch other platforms like TimeForAwakening.com to work with, you know, everyone. We want to be able to set up radio stations in community platforms in various cities that stand alone but still in affiliation with the entire network. And so I appreciate you bringing that to the attention. I noticed you were struggling trying to find it. So
I know, man.
That's where so you find it.
So you did what you did, man. Because when I take my break, I was going to diligently try to find this, but I have this now, and right. I will continue to say this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on my program to get our listeners to go to your website to look this up. You know, Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund, and make some contributions. I will be doing that. I'll be making contributions as well because I love what you do.
You already do, though, Brother Oshie. You already make a contribution. You make a monthly contribution. And so if you want to do more, I'm not going to say you can't, but you already have been supporting us for quite some time.
Yeah, I know, but I feel strongly. How many other programs on Black Talk Radio Network?
Well, some of them are not radio programs like you're doing right now. Some of them are just podcasts. But it's quite a few of them, and we hope to be, you know, bringing more programming on.
Good. Because you know, we want to maintain that number one position as the number one Black Talk Radio podcast in the nation.
Well, it's really
actually
not,
in the world.
It's really not podcast is digital radio and podcasting platform. And on that list, you'll find a bunch of individual podcasts well, we're the only one that falls under digital radio streams, but the other ones are podcasts created by black people. Most of them, one of them's on ESPN, another one is on public radio stations like NPR, and well, those are individual podcasts. Our listing represents all the programs and stations that are affiliated with Black Talk Radio Network. So everybody played a role by producing programming in us obtaining that number one ranking. So you helped us do that, Brother Oshie.
Right on. Well, I'm proud of that. And I'm proud of the fact when I saw that online, I was like, man, that's fantastic. I spread that amongst the other people that I've been working with. And I've been stating that as a fact when I make this announcement of who I'm affiliated with my program, Time for an Awakening Media, of course, Black Talk Radio Network. And I'm very proud to be with you, brother, and I appreciate it very much. And I will continue to promote this so we can be stronger. Because, man, we need information, as you know. I ain't got to tell you. You know what we need, and you're helping provide it.
Yes, sir. So you can just place me back on mute, and I'll continue to listen.
Right on. Thank you a lot. Scotty Reed, brothers and sisters of Black Talk Radio Network.
You've been muted. To unmute yourself.
Go online to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Look for the Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund and make a contribution. We definitely need that. Brothers and sisters, I didn't get a chance to finish the importance of African Liberation Day. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to finish talking about that today, and there will be some, hopefully some time that you can call in and give us your perspective. But not understanding from years ago how, you know, didn't even know there was an African Liberation Day. I remember somebody tied it into Malcolm's birthday, you know. And considering that Malcolm is a Pan-Africanist, the latter part of his life, he traveled a lot in Africa. He understood the importance of Africa being free, even though at the time that he was there, many African countries were starting to break from the colonizers. But also, too, after his assassination, the coup d'etat of Kwame Nkrumah, the assassination of Patrice Lumumba, the coup d'etat of Idi Amin Dada, the death of Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, and I'm quite sure there were others who understood that even though they got free from the colonizer, they were still dependent. And they understood that the real thing is not my country, but the continent. The continent needed to be united. And so from this point, I'm going to discuss, once again, I'm going to go back to the article and talk about the 10 things, reasons why Africa must unite. And then I'm going to hit you up with 5 reasons why the United States of Africa will not happen, which is, I look at it this way, either we unify or we die. And so I'm going to go through that, but you can give me your feelings and your perspective on these issues. And but I tell you, man, you know, it has to come a time where we really realize that if we don't do this, it's over for us. If we, just like I keep reading that piece that Kwame Nkrumah said, you know, he said, if we do not approach the problem in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we once again are colonized and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffer heretofore. And you see that, don't you? You see that. You see what has happened. You know? So I'm saying, this is what we must do. And I know we have leadership. or misleadership or lack of leadership that points us in that direction on the continent and here in America and in the diaspora. And I've been saying this for, I don't know, about 20-something years, the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet, most of them are right here. And if we had the mindset and determination, we have every right to help liberate Africa. We have every right to help liberate Africa. And we must. The 10 reasons why. Kwame Nkrumah once said, Africa must unite or perish. That's right. That's right. Unite or die. Without genuine African unity, our continent will remain at the mercy of imperialist domination and exploitation. And here are the 10 reasons why Africa must unite in a cooperative economic system. That's the other thing, brothers and sisters. It must have a cooperative economic system. Africa's wealth. Africa is extremely wealthy. I'm just not going to go over the total. There was like, I think, 0.87 and 0.8 that I didn't get a chance to read, so I'm not going to go through that. But the wealth of Africa is unbelievable. The gold, the platinum, the diamonds, the magnesium, the cobalt, the chromium, the coltan. I mentioned on Monday, without coltan, brothers and sisters, we couldn't be doing what we're doing right now. You couldn't watch that flat screen TV. Your phone in your hand wouldn't work. I'm telling you, everything is in Africa. Coal, radium, iron ore, chromium, copper, lead, zinc, tin, titanium. Oh man, I don't know, all this lithium, you know, what's that from? The Black Panther, vibranium. They have, the continent is rich, vibranium. And it ain't no joke. It ain't no joke. Petroleum, natural gas, all of that's on the continent. Pooling investment resources, pooling your money, the cooperative concept. If African countries understand that this is our land, this is what we have, we'll pull these together to work for one another. In areas where there's some serious need, we will mobilize and help that area. We will end drought. We will end starvation. We will end the petty conflicts, the petty territorial conflicts. We will help redraw the damn line. I have a caller. Let me take this caller. 602-602, good morning.
I'm just listening, Brother Osher.
I'm glad you are. This is what you do, Brother Marcus. If you want to comment, you hang up and you call back, okay?
Well, no, I'm saying what happened, and I can't hear it through Black Talk Radio. They're playing Monday's program.
It's running... This is what you do. If you want to comment on the program, I'll mute you, and then when you hang up and call back, and then we can have conversation. Okay?
Yeah. But I just want to listen. That's what I'm saying, because I can't hear you. I can't hear you on the, you know, the
right.
So
And
I don't want to comment. I don't want to comment. I just want to listen.
Okay, then just go ahead and listen, my brother.
Hey, brother. To the caller. Yeah. If he's trying to listen through the Time for Awakening media player, that stream is a new stream because they had some problems with it. And I sent the information to tune in yesterday to update the stream, but it sometimes takes them up to 48 hours or longer depending on their workload. But we are broadcasting live through the Black Talk Radio Network radio station stream. Brother Oshi, when you're using Uber conference line, you know, some people, you know, they do call in to just listen.
Sure.
So that's why I set it to mute people when they call in, and then they hit the star key twice to unmute themselves and ask you. Then you know that they have a question.
Okay, cool. I'll just tell them if they want to unmute themselves and have a question, hit the star key twice.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just listening. All right. Thank you. I'm just listening.
Okay. All right. There you go. And then if they want to comment, hit the star key twice if you want to comment. There we go. We'll make that happen. Thanks, Brother Marcus. Thanks for being there. All right, let us get back. And thank you too, Brother Scotty. Appreciate you, man.
You have been muted. To unmute yourself, press the star key.
Pulling our resources, of course, that's what we did with the Cafe Ulu. But that's the whole concept of us lifting us. The economics of capitalism is a very individualistic economic and vicious system where one person can amass huge amounts of wealth at the expense of so many. To me, that kind of system is truly anti-African. It actually is anti-human. It's anti-human. But because of how the Europeans have structured it, they give you little so you have the idea. That's just like when people talk about redistribution of wealth, because when you understand that there's a 1% of this world's population, that these Caucasians have huge amounts of wealth. Most of the Caucasians, they don't want redistribution. No, I would venture to say a great majority of don't want redistribution of wealth, because in their mindset that they too can be part of that elite, part of that wealthy through an inheritance, through the lottery, through a lawsuit, through whatever. But they don't want redistribution of wealth. They don't want to be where people, to me, I would rather have a system that we're the same, but because of whatever you do additionally to help the society, you get bonuses. You get more. You know? You appraise more. You get, and so in that way, those who are talented, they truly do. It's not like everybody get the same and that's it. But there has to be a base where we all get it. We can't have people in such deep despair and so damn destitute. And that's what you see here in America. You know, here you got the here where I am in Atlanta, it's a so-called great place for us as American Africans, and you can see, in fact, and I've said this many times on this program, this Atlanta is the widest income disparity amongst our people of those of us who have and those of us who have not. And it plays out. You can see it. You can see it physically, you know. But guess what? We ain't running nothing here either, y'all. We don't own we don't even have a damn supermarket. We don't even have a supermarket. Even some of the subdivisions and some areas where it's predominantly us, and these areas are beautiful. The homes are beautiful. The manicured lawns, I'm quite sure they're immaculate on the inside. But these people don't pull money together and say, well, in this area, we still got to drive so far to get to a mall or get to a shopping area. Let us build something here and then provide goods and services for our community, provide jobs for our children and our people. You're not thinking that way because you're trained to think individually. You're trained to think about me and mine and the hell with you and yours. Optimal market size. Only in United Africa, where there's more than 1 billion people, can provide the requisite market size to stimulate large-scale production. I mean, once again, the potential for us as African people, and then once Africa is in that kind of position, any and everywhere in the world that African people are, you know you have a sense of pride and dignity, and also you know you have a home that you can come back to, where people have left simply because of the conditions of those areas, that they risk shark-infested waters, that people came out of so-called sub-Saharan Africa trying to get to the Mediterranean to get to Europe. And then if they went by the area of Libya, after the chaos was created in Libya by the assassination, the murder of Muammar Gaddafi by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the West and Europe. Now, Libya is in such deep chaos and dysfunction that there are brothers and sisters being sold into captivity in Libya. There are brothers that are being castrated to be sold in Arab countries, eunuchs. Protectionism, only a unified Africa will be able to protect its market, like China trying to protect its industry by keeping its currency. relatively low, thus ensuring its exports will remain attractive on the global market. The United States provides millions of dollars of subsidies for its farmers, especially rice, cotton, and corn, and others to protect their goods against local competition in other countries around the world. So the idea is that we, coming together as a unified force, will be able to do this. You know? We're almost at that time for a break. Some folks have tried to, I'm going to get in touch with them to let them know that I am broadcasting on Black Talk Radio Network, and I am talking on, if you just dial our call-in number of 215-490-9832, if you could let others know that we are broadcasting. Bargaining power. The Balkan Nation States of Africa are always at disadvantage when separately bargaining with the stronger industrial nations of Europe, Asia, and North America. This is especially the case when trying to court foreign direct investment, FDI, foreign direct investment. While there will always be occasions when Africans could benefit from foreign direct investment, the terms of agreement will never be in our favor because we are fragmented. But if we develop our bargaining power collectively, then we will have the strength and deal in a position of strength as opposed to acquiescing to weakness. We will always lose. However, once Africa is united, it will be the best position to set the terms of agreement between itself and any potential foreign investor. Common currency. They need a common currency. That's what Muammar Gaddafi was doing. That's why he had to go. And I don't give a damn. We are going to do it at the expense of, if it takes whatever it takes, it must be done. We must develop a common currency that we control. The hell with the petrodollar. The hell with American currency. You know, or what is the Chinese currency? Because that's what's going to be happening. Now they are going to be the strongest economy in the world. But what we could do is rival them with our unity. But they could be the strongest economy in the world because they're in Africa controlling Africa's resources, Africa's land, providing areas of Africa for the Chinese, providing food for... We sit on the continent, the richest continent on the planet. We're the poorest people. Continental planning. That's what must happen too. Continental planning. So we must be able to look at the continent and make sure that whatever areas that need help, we go there. We mobilize. We develop roads, highways, trains, ports, schools, hospitals, divisions, subdivisions, areas of that there are nice areas to live in. Also, too, help the indigenous brothers and sisters. If they want to live in an area where they still live like they've lived, we can modernize that. They can still have that hub. They can make sure they have running water, electricity. I mean, that's still a problem in Africa now, just there. Twice they had blackouts, and one blackout lasted for hours. Hours. You know, so the continental planning to make sure that the rivers are constantly flowing and flowing with good water, so there will be a good water sources for the continent. Develop ways to help those flows happen in other parts where they need water. All of these things are important. Provide landlocked countries access to the sea. United Africa will allow nearly 20 African countries to acquire the benefits of having immediate access to the sea. With slightly more than 70% of the Earth's surface covered by water, the benefits of having immediate access to marine life are tremendous. They include mainly food, medicine, raw materials, mineral resources, tourism, and the protection of geopolitical strategic interests, providing those countries in the middle, like the Congo, Botswana, many countries that are pretty much landlocked, with being able to have, and also to being able to get to tourist spots that we could develop. Resolving internal conflicts and disputes. The Balkanization of Africa at the infamous Berlin Conference of 1884-85 not only created small, economically non-viable dependencies, it also engendered and or exacerbated ethnic and religious hostilities throughout the continent. This long-standing strategy of divide and rule was used to perfection throughout Africa, which now has more boundaries than any other continent on the earth, 166. The recipe was simple. Fossilized Africa's various ethnic groups, many of whom were historical rivals, then forced them under the same national roof. Independence then would be fought with so many ethnic hostilities that achieving national integration, political stability, and economic development would be literally impossible, practically impossible. As a result, we have an entire continent replete with interstate and interstate conflicts, many of which over the years have blossomed into full-scale wars. However, only a unified African government buttressed with a full-scale might of an all-African military high command will be able to resolve these conflicts and end these wars. The UN, NATO, the European Union, United States, or any other entity outside of Africa can never, will never, ever solve our problems. None of them have the interest, will, means, or mandate to do so. Instead, if left in the hands, in their hands, they will only make matters worse in order to make Africa more malleable for continued imperialistic domination. This is our responsibility. This is ours. Asserting the African personality. Despite the cultural diversity that exists among African people, there is a far greater degree of cultural unity that exists whenever you find African people in the world. Dr. Jop made this point at the symposium in 1974 in Cairo. Him and Felophilia Obinga, who's a linguistic, he tied the linguistic piece together of African cultural continuity. Dr. Jop consistently pointed out the cultural continuity of African people. This is especially obvious in the common African ethos that binds us together as one. Our core values of humanism, collectivism, egalitarianism. Sometimes these words, you know, and it can be a simple word, but when you see it, you kind of know it. But, you know, egalitarianism, for example, are demonstrated amongst the masses everywhere. Even our sense of being, space, and time are fundamentally different from other people in the world. However, because of our status as a dominated people without power to determine our destiny, we are rarely able to have our view of the world expressed, regarded, or respected in any meaningful way by the rest of the world, especially in any of the various quarters of power. Once Africa unites, however, the rest of the world will have to sit up and take notice. We will take our seat on the Security Council of the UN and be free to express to the fullest the most salient characteristics of what Sajifo, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah termed the African personality. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we will have more discussion, and I hope that you'll be able to join us. The number to call is 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and the number one black radio network, Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I'm sorry. Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and the number one radio and podcasting platform for American African Radio, Black Talk Radio Network. And other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. My program, of course, is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesdays, right after my program, from 1 to 3, is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. Unfortunately, will not be air today, but it will be back on Monday, I rest assured. Right after my program, Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. After that, from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 368. Excuse me, Let's Buy Black 365. All right. On Tuesdays, Black BLE Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. On Fridays, the Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richards from 8 until. And then on Saturdays, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC once again. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it is Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And I'm on the website now looking at Black Talk Media Project's 2019 Independent Black Media Fund. So go on the website, blacktalkradionetwork.com, and then go on that, click on that, you'll see it. It's right there in front of your face. Click on it. But more importantly, there's two spots on the site that are yellow, that is in gold. That's say gold or yellow. In gold that say, let's donate. Donate. Hit that up and make a contribution so they can reach their goal. Met the Black Talk Media Project's fundraising goal. All right. So
So we talked about the 10 reasons for a united Africa. African Liberty website has five problematic reasons why Africa cannot come together. Here are five reasons he and others advocate of the United States of Africa should have a rethink. Africans are historically autonomous. That issue was dealt with Diop. Said there's a cultural continuity of Africa. So right there, the number one problem is BS. One of the most incoherent assumptions of this school of thought is that colonialism brought different tribes together without considering their distinct cultures. This, they suggest, should be replaced by uniting all ethnic groups on the continent, over 3,000 of them, under a bigger identity. Perhaps they are deliberately neglecting the fact that contemporary African countries are struggling because of the bad arrangements by colonialists. Another amalgamation of sort, especially a larger one, will only create further problems. Moreover, Africans have always been autonomous. Before the scramble and partition of Africa in the Berlin Conference, every African tribe lived within their own space with particular values and customs. Trade was one of the few things that brought them together, while they always respected each other's identity. In fact, traditional Africans often broke away from their original tribes. I even hate that word, tribes, their cultures and nations. See, you don't call the Europeans tribes. You understand? Yeah, because all this language is theirs. They control the narrative, just like in this article, I believe. From their original tribe to forming new communities for self-realization and freedom. The thought that this way of life can be changed by imposing a single identity is simply absurd and un-African. I totally beg to differ. The language barrier. And he's speaking about, because Brother Malema of South Africa, Brother Malema, Jewish Malema, mentioned that there should be a United States of Africa. Any future thinking, any visionary of African realize in this world, what he's talking about from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 years ago, I can understand that. But in today's world, if Africa does not unite, Africa is doomed. Language barriers. Malema proposed Swahili has the ideal language, and in fact, there's a few countries that are saying Swahili only. In fact, Rwanda, they will not be. There's no French at all to be taught, or probably even to be spoken. They're going to teach Swahili. In fact, the formation of Kwanzaa back in the day, the words of Kwanzaa are Kiswahili. And the thought was that is a progress, you know, that is a beginning of us speaking Kiswahili and letting that be the language that we speak on the continent. And even in the diaspora, has a language that we can speak. So you could be bilingual or multilingual. You could speak European languages, French, Italian, English, Spanish, and still speak Kiswahili. You can speak Mandarin Chinese, but speak Swahili. Where's our own language? We always try to. Well, don't get me started. Malema proposed Kiswahili has the ideal language for a unified African, considering it the most widely spoken indigenous language. But Swahili only has some 140 million speakers, which is less than 15% of the 1.2 billion population on the continent. The adoption of such language, if it all accepted by speakers of other than 2,000 languages, would require an extraordinary amount of efforts, especially funding. China and India are often referenced as good replicas for Africa in this regard, but both countries owe their success to shared ancestral language among their people, whereas imposing an alien language on a group in an attempt to erase their identity, that's not, man, African Liberty website is pissing me off here, because that's not true. Maybe I shouldn't say the website isn't, but the writer of this article, which is African, what is this? Ibrahim Anoba is an African political economist, analyst, and senior fellow at African Liberty. We ought to all write this dude. Okay. China and India are often referenced as good replicas for Africa in this regard, but both countries owe their success to shared ancestral language among their people, whereas imposing an alien language on a group is an attempt to erase their identity. It is not. If Mulumba wants Africans to reject English and French because they demean their identities, he should not only, then he should not be guilty of the same thing. What's an idea? See, what we're saying here, the language that is predominant would be Kiswahili. You can still speak your language. You can still speak the other many dialects. I know Brother Madike, who is in Us Lifting Us Without, he speaks six languages. He's from Senegal, so obviously he speaks French. He speaks English very well, and he speaks other languages. What an ideal administrative system. What's an ideal administrator? Most advocates of the United States of Africa often propose a unitary system with one parliament and president. Others believe either feudalism or confederalism would work better to preserve the autonomy of numerous ethnic groups. Either way, the geopolitical structure of the continent would allow for such unification. African society is too complex to work under a unitarian system. That is not true. Their preference models of administrators, particularly to each tribe and country. It makes no sense to suggest that all adopt a unilateral administrative pattern different from what they have known for thousands of years. A unitarian system is only ideal for a small geographical area with common values. Africa and other hand-covered struggling 11.7 million square miles, almost three times the size of Europe, and it is deeply pluralized. Equally, neither federalism nor confederalism would likely work. Both systems have horribly failed in many African countries and blocs. Nigeria and the African Union are good examples. Nigeria, for instance, has over 250 ethnic groups, just like there would be in the United States of Africa. However, since the country adopted federalism in 63, it has struggled with its structural problems ranging from resource control to ethnic marginalization and defining the extent to which federalizing units should be autonomous. Also, if the AU, the African Union, had achieved its goal of uniting Africa under the Confederacy, there would be no cause for another form of union. The bottom line here is people do better when they are not forced into a coalition. Okay. We are not doing better anywhere on the continent because we're so fragmented and divided, manipulated and undermined, and have no control, and have neocolonialism and despots running the country, the failed leadership. Different economic values. Different tribes, God, I hate the word. I mean, different nations. Different nations have specific attitudes toward the economy. Constricting everyone into a single mode of economic reasoning is inhumane as much as it would be chaotic. It is antithetical to how Africans have lived for centuries. No traditional African society was the same in its approach to commerce and trade at the other. And these values stand until today. This peculiarity and one reason, essentially planned economic reforms in many African countries often fail to yield expected results among different nations. Again, a critical reason, the economies of equally larger unions such as China and India have worked is because of the homogeneousness of values among their people, regardless of whatever economic model is adopted in a unified Africa. It would be difficult to make it work for every society. It is a pathway to tyranny. Perhaps Malema and his comrades have yet to realize that the more powerful a central government is, the greater the possibilities of tyranny. This is evidenced in the level at which post-independent African leaders have grossly abused power. One leader in control of a big entity with enormous resources going by modern African history is extremely dangerous. More so, rotating the office of the head of state among its nations without problems is also impossible, as we have seen in the old Sudan, Rwanda, and Central African Republic, and Nigeria. There equally cannot be a parliament comprehensive enough to accommodate every nation they make up the continent. The end result would be insufficient representation of interests, which often results in calls for secession. Nevertheless, the effects of colonialism on Africa is proof that bringing people together without considering their traditional ways of life is wrong. What Africa needs to work is for countries to allow more autonomy for local and regional governments, not another forceful unification. That was hard for me to read, man. That was really hard for me to read. Because everything can change. I use the term ignorance. Ignorance being absence of knowledge. It is easy to impart new knowledge. I'm ignorant of quantum physics. But if someone would explain to me in detail and make it plain, as Malcolm would say, that would help my understanding of quantum physics. I will know everything about quantum physics, but at least I have a cursory knowledge of quantum physics. And that would end my ignorance. We must teach around the continent of Africa the importance of unification, the importance of understanding that it is not Ghana, Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, Botswana, Tanzania, Zambia, Kenya, Uganda. No. It is about the collective continent. That's what's most important. There's one area that may be rich in mineral resources, other areas that are not. So why? That other area should just remain poor and destitute? Because they speak five other languages when you speak 10? This is crazy. This article, oh man, it just really pissed me off. Because I know what can be done if we put our energy and our heart and our minds to doing it. If you want to comment, if you got comments, questions, or concerns, and if you have dialed 215-490-9832, hit star twice, and then you'll be up on it, and we can have conversation. Hit star twice. I tell you, unfortunately, the people, why do you think the people who have advocated for the freedom and independence and self-determination and sovereignty have been murdered, have been assassinated, or displaced?
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, hey, Jay. How you doing, brother? Go ahead.
What's happening? Hey, listen, you know that article that you read, I heard some of it. I heard some of what you had said earlier. And the thing is, like I've said previously before, and this is why I always get on the fraternity and sorority, Negro, that with all of the skills that they supposedly have, and so many of them Negroes out of work, I don't understand why they don't come together in brotherhood and go to a place like Namibia or somewhere like that, and just go in there and help the government build up the country into a place that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the direction that we as a people should be going. You know, the only thing I think that's honestly holding us back, Oshi, as far as the continent goes, is our inability to defend ourselves. And that's what the white man's done. He's kept us in a position to where as we just can't defend ourselves properly. But if we was in a situation to where as we could defend ourselves, oh, that cracker would be in trouble. Now imagine if we could defend ourselves and we told them that we would have to deal in fair, amicable trade. Do you know the equation on the planet would be totally changed? Because the cracker, if the truth
AJ,
be told,
AJ, AJ, we're going to reframe from calling Europeans, Caucasians, or whites crackers or any other derogatory term, but Urugu's a good one. I'll definitely call them that.
That's what I do. Well, you know, the Urugu, if we was in a situation to where as we could defend ourselves against the Urugu, then hey, man, it would be a total paradigm on this planet.
There's no doubt about it. The problem, Jay, the problem, of course, we have to build to that point. And the fact that you have to understand, and you heard me say this because you listened to the program, one thing the European has done over its many centuries has always found a better way to kill. The European culture is war culture, war and rape culture, and they've exported that around the globe. They divide and conquer tactics. If they don't work, they eliminate you. They kill you. That's the bottom line. So in this instance, yes, we must develop physical warriors and train them and teach them. But the fact of the matter is, it is strictly for defense, because they you know, the way the Caucasian is at this moment, he has the military might. That's why, to me, sometimes when somebody checks him, like a North Korea, I like that. I'm sorry, I like that.
No, I agree with it.
I just because that checks them, because they want, Europeans want absolute power over this whole planet and its resources. They would love to take down China, North Korea. They would love to submit or either eliminate El Islam and other Iraq. They would love that. They would love to dominate the planet.
Well, you can see what they do. They're doing right now close to home in Venezuela. How do you make an assertion that the President Maduro is not duly elected when there was an election, and then you want to put in some sort of puppet? And, you know, it just goes to show the absolute ignorance of the people. You know what I mean? Of the American people. That's why, you know, the American people get screwed around the way they do. It's just like a perfect example. This whole thing with the farmers.
Okay.
Everyday farmers ain't getting no relief. It's the 1% farmers. It's the massive farmers that's getting all the relief. But nobody's putting forward that true narrative. It's all about the narrative, Oshi. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
All it is. It's
all about the narrative, Jay, and they control it. And they control
the narrative. Yep. As long as you control the narrative, you control and dictate where the agenda goes and how it moves forward. And the sad thing is, you know, unfortunately, we as a people don't understand that. So we allowed the continuation of our oppression to happen. And it's like, it's not like it's getting any better. It's like it's getting worse, because more and more of our people are trying to integrate into this madness.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, they don't want you back behind. They just want to use you for the talent that you have, and then when they don't want you no more, they just replace you with another Negro to keep them complacent and happy. You know what I mean? But the thing is, we never use the skills that we have to create a positive paradigm for ourselves. So that's why you stuck in the sunken place. You would never ever think about going someplace else as a collective to build an infrastructure, to build a society, to build a culture, to do the necessary thing. Let me explain it to you like this. If I was the head of an African country, and I knew that I wanted to build roads within my country, let me tell you what I would do. I would build a place of comfort for the people. And I would then come and I would recruit the people to come that had the necessary skills to do it. Now, when you talk about comfort, let's be honest. Let's be very clear. The average Negro do nothing but go to work, come home, and watch TV or listen to music. If I could present to you those same things, then why is it that you can't go home and help build up a country and have a real serious stake in it if you could still have those same things? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what needs to be done, because you know I know a lot of working people. And when you talk to most working people today, when they get off of work, they so tired. All they want to do is come home, take a shower, and sit in front of the Ubuntu or sit in front of the stereo.
Yeah,
and get up and repeat the same process. Then if they got a day off, you know, maybe they'll want to go out and do something. But most people too tired to even do that. So whereby if you have an African country, you could give that to the so-called elite, and on top of that, pay them handsomely. So in essence, what are you leaving? You're just leaving the comfort zone that you're comfortable with. Now, how could you really be comfortable if you unemployed, underwage, and all of those things? And here it is, I'm presenting you something that is life-giving. You know, it's just the mental mindset that we have and the lack of a vision to interact with other people across the continent to get them to vision that. Because you got a country like Namibia, which is growing. You understand what I'm saying? They got the resources to present something of that nature. Do you imagine what it would be like if you brought 100 unemployed engineers from this country with the workforce of the African people to build roads, sewers, and things of that nature?
Exactly.
Do you imagine in 10 years where you would be at?
Right, it can be done. The problem is, and the five reasons why the United States of Africa can't happen is ridiculous to me, because it has no vision. It doesn't understand, in order for Africa to be a player on this world stage, Africa must unite. Africa must be, you know, you can keep your traditions, you can keep your language, you can keep a lot of things about your culture that's specific to that particular nation of Shoan or Kikuyu, whatever. You can keep those things. But what's paramount and most important is the unification of Africa, and we believe strongly in one currency. We believe strongly in doing things collectively. We believe strongly in terms of defense of Africa. But if we maintain the position we are in right now, right today, it is going to be extremely difficult. Brother says, my cousin who lived in China for 2 years, and there's a large African student population there and involved in import-export business operating out of China. I agree that, and I know there's an African population there, and I read about them. I read about how they're treated.
Hey,
well.
Hey, Oshi, yeah, that was me. That was me in the chat room. For clarification, my cousin, who has an education degree, she used to teach at the HBCU Johnson C. Smith University. She said there was a lot of coonery and buffoonery going on there. So, you know, she got an opportunity to teach English for a corporation in China and, you know, make some money. She lived there for 2 years, and she said that there's a couple of cities where there's a huge African population, and a lot of them are going there to go to school and go back to Africa. But there's also some there that's doing the import-export business and controlling that avenue into Africa, but dealing with China like every other country, especially the United States. All their most of their goods, household goods, consumer goods like that, non-perishable commodities come from China through Walmart, Target, all these other places. So what I'm saying is Africans could be doing those very things that Jay is recommending, but where do we get our information from? Primarily from a Yorugo filtered news media.
Right.
You know? Exactly. So they could be things that's going on and in plans for the future that we're just not simply aware of. So I got to believe that that's why those Africans are studying. And then, you know, I don't know. I wish they would stop going to India where they're being attacked. And them Indians is racist as I don't know what towards African people. And a lot of our Africans are going there to go to higher universities because they don't. Let's be real. You know, Africa doesn't have enough educational facilities for Africans to stay there. And so they go and they get these skills, and I got to believe a lot of them are bringing it back, but it takes time, you know, to build, to put that infrastructure.
Some of them were bringing it back because they really don't want to live in some of those other places as opposed to, like, America. They come here, they don't want to go nowhere. They want to stay right here, you know, and many of them have done that, and to some degree of success. You know.
Well, you know, the conditions in America today is making a lot of Africans want to go back home. What has happened is you have a lot of them that have had kids here and have never been back home and are westernized on a certain level to where it makes it a little bit difficult. But, I mean, I know from working in the cab industry for years that a lot of the African brothers now, because the cab industry in New York is so bad, they're going back home. Those that came here with a purpose of making money, going back home, buying land, and doing that. Because a lot of cats that I know, they set up businesses back home, and they also buy land to go back and do farming. I mean, I know a guy that has, you know, cattle and things of that nature, and you know, it's just one of those things to whereas, you know, we don't have leadership to direct us in that type of vision. That's why I always laugh when I hear your boy Farrakhan talk about separation or else. You're talking about separation, asking the Yorugo to give you something. Why don't you separate and go back home to Africa? Well, you always talking about how African leaders and African people love you. I mean, stop playing games.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And the thing is, that's the only way we're going to move forward is if we leave here. Because the bottom line is, the opportunities for black people in this country, in all truthfulness, is dwindling. And the educational system is not getting better. That's why I tell every kid I talk to now, look, man, get into STEM. Get into STEM, and let me tell you this also. You don't have to do it by going to college. You can self-teach yourself most of these things. And that's
true. They can go through trade school and technical schools, too. Let me,
that's the obvious. Plumbing, imagine the type of plumbing you can do around the world.
We need them trained in all of that. Plumbing, electrical, masonry, all of that. Let me catch this call. Marcus,
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I got it done, Tony.
All right, Jay. Peace to you, brother.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, yes, brother. You see, you know, the European needs Africa more than Africa needs a European.
Oh, no doubt. You're right.
Because it is Africa that feeds Europe. Africa is Europe's breadbasket.
Mm-hmm.
And if all those countries in Africa were to lump their armies into one army, we would have a defense in Africa. We would be able to defend ourselves. See, a lot of people say, well, you know what, we can't do anything because he's going to bomb Africa. No, because he needs Africa. You see, he needs the food that Africa produces, all that food that produced in South Africa and Zimbabwe, that goes to Europe.
Yeah.
See, so if he bomb it, he's bombing his bread basket. The thing is,
Brother Marcus, is that Europe wouldn't be what it is in the position it is today if it were not for Africa and the colonization of Africa. When Europe, even in its ancient times, Africa provided for Europe, particularly Greece and Rome. Those two empires became strong because of what Africa was able to provide them. So, you know, it is historical, but finally, once we now know, hopefully we can break this situation that has been happening. Let me get this caller. Let me get this other. Oh, no, go ahead, Marcus. Make your point.
Yes, well, you know, as I said, the ideology of Pan-Africanism came from the West. It didn't come from Africa, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So the African in the West has an integral part to play into the liberation of Africa. So,
exactly.
You know, I rest my comment on you.
Okay, my brother.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to take that call. Call back if you wanted to get in on this conversation. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're talking today about the importance of African Liberation Day. It's a continuation from Monday's conversation, because I believe that there's no more important day for African people on the continent, throughout the diaspora, and particularly in this country, than African Liberation Day. It is a day to be observed, have conferences, have panel discussions. It is a day to be celebrated. 718, good afternoon.
This is Makakuvu Ali Elbe. How are you?
I am doing fine, dear brother. How are you today?
Excellent. I'm the brother that stopped by and spoke with you at the Malcolm X Festival, and I took your card and I spoke to you about a business initiative.
Yes, sir.
And I've been listening to the conversation for the last 15, 20 minutes or so, and I want to add a few things for consideration. I'm with a group of people who have been given a land grant of 183,000 acres in Ghana. Also, part of that initiative is to step forward to the HBCUs, Historical Black Colleges and Universities, with a college endowment initiative that will allow them to acquire land use grants to build their educational institutions inside this land grant of 183,000 acres of land. This way there can be a cross-cultural educational initiative to bring about the education and culturalization, because education as it is today is devoid of culture, and because it's devoid of culture, our people suffer from the disease of self-hatred, because the paradigm of education is based upon the European colonial mindset. Additionally, this land grant is to the Moorish Kingdom of the Numai Theocratic Indigenous Moors and Omexum, which is the ancient name of this land, one of the ancient names. Now, there was some dialogue regarding how things can move forward, and the conversation I brought to you on Malcolm X Festival Day was regarding the concept of hyper-capitalized corporations. People often wonder, how is it that there's this tremendous cycle of money that is circulated to finance business initiatives in the European and European American community that has the fences around it that exclude our people from participating in that cycle of dollars. That cycle of dollars is generated because of the concept of hyper-capitalized corporations that issue bonds that are traded on the bond index, for example, the S&P index. So those bond trading initiatives of hyper-capitalized corporations allow the people who form the hyper-capitalized corporation the ability to have their own private bank, which is a non-depository bank, which means that people can't deposit money into it, but it's a business initiative that allows them to capitalize various business projects to move their agenda forward. And what happens with the hyper-capitalized corporation, the reason that's called hyper-capitalized in the first place is because whenever the corporation needs additional capital, it issues bonds that are traded and bought on the bond index. So those three steps, and this is why I want to sit with you and talk with you with us lifting us, because you said something to me that was very strategic, which was people put their funds together to move that initiative forward. And that's what happens with a hyper-capitalized corporation. People put their money together to form the hyper-capital corporation to move the initiative forward, various initiatives. So it gives us, once our thinking is clear, because our thinking has to be clear on this. It can't be, there was a term used, buffoonery and coonery, with people that were living in China for whatever reason. That disease of the conflict of consciousness has to be pushed to the table, pushed to the side, so that the structure of the hyper-capital corporation can be realized. And once it's realized, now there are funds available to finance business initiatives.
Okay. Let me say this. You said that there's land in Ghana. What part of Ghana? Eastern, sounds like the eastern region. Is it the eastern region?
It is. I'm not going to disclose too much information over this line.
Okay.
Okay. But I implore you to meet with me face to face.
Okay.
Okay. And then from there, whatever business people you want to bring to the table, and the HBCU initiative, which is the Queen's decree, all this is going to be coming forward, going to be rolling forward. I've spoken with some people who come from Morehouse. I may even be at Morehouse on Friday morning.
Okay, so you're still in the Atlanta area. You're still in the Atlanta area then. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yeah, this is very significant, Doc. And I heard the brother talk about Farrakhan. I heard the conversation.
Good.
And these three steps, and I also heard the comment on leadership. And leadership is a fallacy. There are only three men that our people need to have paid attention to. The first one is Toussaint Louverture, because Toussaint laid the blueprint for freeing a nation, freeing a people, and lifting a nation, although France has put chains on it.
Yes. Yeah.
The second
person, they should have listened to Duty Bookman. When Duty Bookman told him, throw away the white man's God and you will, I mean, let me repeat, you will be free. He didn't say you might. Right. He didn't say you could. He didn't say you should. He said you will be free. And unfortunately, right. We're not able to do that. But listen, I'm running out of time. And what I want to
do. Okay, I just want to say two more things. Because the second person was Marcus Garvey, because he laid the blueprint for economic development. And the third person is Elijah Muhammad, because Elijah Muhammad said our people must take responsibility for the education of our children.
Yeah.
Those three blueprints are what our people need to follow.
I would agree. I will be giving you a call, dear brother, and we probably can meet at the cafe and discuss these issues further, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, brother. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Brothers and sisters, we're almost out of time. We only got a couple of minutes. Once again, hope to be back on the forum that we normally have and be able to broadcast as we have. But I really still appreciate the effort of Scotty Reed of Black Talk Radio Network for allowing me still to broadcast these last two times, Monday and today. And so must give him much love and respect, and also will definitely be promoting the fund. That's right, the Independent American African Media Fund. And you can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and look for Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. And there's two places in here where you can click on that gold sign that says donate and make your contribution to help him meet their goal. And the goal, brothers and sisters, it is vitally important that we have independent media outlets. So, you know, we can speak our special truths. We can speak this way, you know? And to me, there is no other way, especially when we're in a world where competition is what it is, and we want to be able to compete. We want our young men and women to get the kind of knowledge, not that they could go beg Caucasians for jobs, but to get the kind of knowledge they understand clearly what the responsibility is to utilize that knowledge in service to our people, in service to each other. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodio family, have a wonderful day. Peace.
The organizer has ended this Uber conference. Goodbye.